Okay, let's talk about larger spaces like atriums and hotel lobbies. The challenge we're running into frequently is, how do we get sound absorption into big spaces like these? We really like the look of glass and stone, wood, painted drywall, but I know we can run into problems with all these hard surfaces. So how do we incorporate sound absorption? Most of these spaces are high traffic and program calls for big events and large gatherings.
Yeah, and receptions. And yeah, I know it can really be risky if you don't get the right sound absorption in place.
Yes.
Because without it, you won't be able to hold those big events without people really suffering.
Yes. We've all been in spaces where you walk in and you're like, oh, this really wasn't done well. I mean, if you have all hard surfaces and a large volume space, you basically have a reverb chamber on your hands. It just doesn't work for our purposes.
Yeah, basically you're battling against reverberation. And as you know, reverberation is a function of the room volume and the presence or lack of sound-absorbing materials. In this particular case, it's a perfect storm. You have an enclosed space with a high volume of traffic and all hard surfaces, so that energy has nowhere to go, nowhere to dissipate, and that's why we need sound-absorptive materials.
Right. And from a design perspective, it's a balancing act to get sound absorption into a room so that it pairs well with the design aesthetic of the space, but also meets the acoustic requirements. And for most projects, budget often drives the end decision, even when you recognize the acoustic needs.
And that's completely fair. But the point I always make is that if you remove the acoustic treatments from the space, you're effectively limiting the kinds of activities that can happen there.
Right.
Those cocktail receptions with 200 people that you had planned are really not going to work well. So going back to your original question, how do we get sound absorption into these large spaces?
Yes.
Well, when I consider a lobby or an atrium, I always look at the ceiling first as an opportunity to incorporate sound absorption. It's usually the most efficient and effective place to add absorption.
Yeah, but what if I want to keep that look of painted drywall?
Oh, then you can consider an acoustical drywall ceiling. That gives you the look and the sound absorption.
Okay.
Or there are perforated wood and metal options, too. There are a lot of ways to get the acoustics and the aesthetics. In addition to the ceiling, you could look at other opportunities like adding acoustic treatments to the upper walls or introducing area rugs or plush furnishings. Everything really adds up to help control reverberation.
Okay, we can run into issues if we try to bring in curtains and lots of plush flammable furniture because that could violate the occupancy code. A lot of those materials are not considered Class A, which is very important. We need to make sure we're meeting fire and life safety requirements.
And that's a fair point. It's always a balancing act. And this is why it's so important to get the acoustician's perspective as early as possible in the project so you can address these kinds of challenges early on and truly integrate the acoustical treatments seamlessly into the design. That's the best way to ensure that your room performs as intended and meets all the programmatic needs.
Plus, you have acoustics in your budget early on.
Right. And we can help communicate to your clients that acoustics should be a design imperative so that the acoustics budget doesn't get hacked to pieces during value engineering exercises.